As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures. We're reading, this is the 12th day of Christmas. We could sing the song we could have sang on the first day of Christmas. True? No, we don't. This is the 12th day of Christmas, and also known as Epiphany Sunday in the life of the church. And so we're reading the familiar story here from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12, the visit of the wise men. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time of worship together. We thank you for your word for us for today. We thank you for a new season, a new year in the life of the church. And as we kind of close out the Christmas season with this story of the wise men, Lord, may you meet us on our road this year. God, ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it's the first Sunday of the new year, and I trust that you've made your New Year's resolutions, and one of which was to be in worship every week. And so you had 5 days to think about what other things you could have done this morning, but you have accomplished the goal of being in church, in worship. And I don't know about you, but I love new years and new calendars. This is my 2025 calendar, and usually I will, I get stickers of places I go to throughout the year, and I put it on my calendar, and the year just started, and it's already filled with stickers. They're from last year. I ran out of space, but I love, like, kind of opening up the calendar and kind of looking at the new year, and it's pretty empty right now, but it fills up as it goes on. It'll get filled. And I also have what's called my dashboard that I have on my desk. And here I get to also write things down in different categories. And I'll put meetings and appointments and birthdays and anniversaries. And I have a daily tracker here that I can put two of the things I try to do. My daily tracker is eat healthy and work out. And so each day I'm able to kind of put a check mark. I like putting check marks by things that I accomplish. It helps me kind of keep going, putting a check mark. So I have my calendar and I have my dashboard ready to go as the new year gets going. This season kind of marks the end of the Christmas season. This week we'll kind of go back to our routines and on Tuesday, students and teachers are back together for the new semester, and parents, if they were able to take a day off, well, usually days off are usually go back to work this week and normal kind of goes back into motion, whatever normal means. And the ripple in the pond of Christmas 2024, we took down our tree yesterday and put things back in the attic, and the tree's out in the front yard. If anyone's looking for a tree, please come by my house and grab that tree. It's real. We watered it and whatever, but you're welcome to it. And whether you're a department store or a church, for at least the next 250 to 330 days, things are kind of put away in the Christmas season. You know, during the holiday Christmas season, we experience kind of a spirit of giving, and people are a little bit maybe kinder to one another and thoughtful and generous, and we see the human race kind of become more like God intended us to be. The world is a happier place. We watch people maybe a little bit more prone to help someone out. And I know our church, we were able to serve some families that we work with through the Murkison Middle School, through the counseling, and we were able to deliver gifts to a number of families. We know, however, that there's more to Christmas and this season of Advent and Christmas than warm and fuzzy feelings to be a little kinder and thoughtful. It's about this gift that we've received that's been given to us through the birth of Christ that overwhelms us with joy, that's not just meant to transform our life for 6 weeks, but transform our life, period. This morning we heard Matthew's account of the wise men journey into Jerusalem in search for the child born king of the Jews. And no one really knows what country the wise men were from. Some commentators say they were from Mesopotamia. Some say they were magicians from Persia. Others were astrologers from Babylon. Some say they were as far away as India. Some speculate they were wealthy scholars from Medes. Herodias thought maybe they were magi specializing in interpreting dreams. And we see a couple of those things as we read the story for today. We see them following the star, so maybe astrology was part of it. We see at the end of the scripture that having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left. Maybe they were about interpreting dreams. We see a couple of those speculations. Simply, the scripture simply says they were wise men from the east, and so we don't know exactly where they were from. There could have only been two of them. There could have been three of them. There maybe was 20 of them. We don't know that either. The wise men went to ask about Jesus. They wanted to pay him homage. Having been following the star. Herod, being warned about what all of this meant, kind of felt threatened. He felt threatened by his kingship versus kingship of Jesus and the dichotomy of the two types of kingdoms and kingship that they both represented. Matthew's gospel really dwells on Herod's ruthlessness and paranoia concerning the rival between their two kingships. And these qualities are portrayed through Herod are cunning and cruel. And him and all Jerusalem and all the chief priests and scribes of all the people are disturbed about the birth of the new king, the Messiah. And so they attempt to destroy Jesus, being power hungry and evil. You know, we can't know or explain Herod's actions. You know, we can't explain really the actions of anybody that acts in evil ways. We saw that, witnessed that in New Orleans this week with the death of many people and so many others injured. But we know that the wise men are sent out in a dream And that we learn that the homage that Herod told the wise men that he wanted to show Jesus was really not his desire. God met the wise men on that journey towards Jesus, following the star. But God didn't leave them there. God led them to where he wanted them to be, and through their obedience and commitment and faithfulness, they arrived at the place and found Jesus and Mary, the mother of Jesus. The wise men were seeking and opening themselves up to God's leading. And in faith, they kept going until they found Jesus. Like the wise men, we are to too keep seeking Christ until we encounter him. If we stand at the door knocking, if we follow in Christ's ways, Christ will answer. It may be here at church in a beautiful sanctuary and through beautiful people and a beautiful community, or it could be at work, or it could be at home, or it could be with our friends. Christ meets us. Maybe like the wise men were like so many in the world. Maybe they have searched and tried different things throughout their life, and they found that all the stuff in the world wasn't enough. Maybe they came to the realization that no matter what they followed, wasn't enough to fill what they were searching for until they found Jesus. They went searching among the stars, and that star led them to Bethlehem. And when they came to Jesus, they had gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, two things I kind of take from this part of the scripture is that the wise men brought gifts to Jesus, and they had different gifts. That God equips us with different gifts that we can bring to glorify God. You know, I wish I had some musical talent, but I don't. I'm horrible. My 8-year-old can play the piano, and I can't. I wish I could draw, but I can't. But my 11-year-old can draw pretty well. Those aren't talents that I have been blessed with, but I've been gifted with the gifts of leadership and administration and service. And I try to use those gifts to lead the church and to build the church following Christ. Whatever your gift is, we're invited to bring that to Christ. That we're all unique, and maybe there may be more musical folks here, there may be more artists here, there may be leaders here, and there's administrators, there's so many gifts and talents. Whatever your gift and talent is, and whatever you may think it's small and worthless, we're invited to bring it to Christ and allow Christ to utilize that gift through our generosity of offering it. And so once the wise men found the Christ child, God didn't let them return the same way they had come. God met them. And for their safety and for the safety of the Holy Family, God sent them away by another road. Again, once one encounters the newborn king, once one offers their gift to Christ, God changes us. And we look at the world differently, and we're invited to travel the road less traveled. As Mark Twain so beautifully wrote as well. It's unrealistic to think that maybe we're going to just eliminate divisiveness and rude and evilness in this world, even as we travel by a different road. But our only choice, unless we want to give up or give in, is to live in the humility of Christ, and to allow his goodness and grace to transform us and the world. to take the high road, to work for what is good and right in the world that's full of sin. This morning, we're invited to listen to God, as the wise men did, to follow Christ wherever he leads us in the world, to be his hands and his feet. But beware, when we open ourselves up to God, we might be invited to travel by another road. You see, Christ broke down those established norms. He sought and advocated for a radical departure from the status quo thinking. And so I invite you, as we begin this new year, to listen to God, to be fed by God through the communion table, to be touched by God and the Holy Spirit that leads us, to listen to one another. For you see, I'm sure that even within this room today, there are so many different people who have taken different routes to get to the manger. So many different experiences have led you to Jesus. And all of those routes and experiences are real and true and present due to God's prompting of God's grace that has been part of your life before you even knew it, prompting you to ask questions, to seek, and to find the Christ child present in the world today. You know, it would be easy to look back at 2024 and just say, oh, we're going to do that again, and we're going to do that again, we're going to sing that again, we're going to do this again. Because we can get complacent so easily. But once we find Jesus, he invites us to think new, to be on a new journey, that we might experience Christ in new ways as we travel on another road. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for each and every person here today. And whatever road they took in order to get here, Lord, we are grateful that they are here, that you meet us, and that you call us to travel with you. It's led us to the manger. Now lead us to communities and neighborhoods and to people who need to hear a message of love and grace. God, may we be people who travel by another road, a new road, as you transform our lives each and every day, each and every year, to be someone new for the kingdom of God, that we might use our gifts to strengthen this world, this community, in our neighborhoods. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.